Today I'm going to speak out of Yeshayahu, and I've taken it from Yeshayahu chapter 51, and although there's only 53 verses in that, I'm taking it a little bit further. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word that you've given us today. I pray that you will just give me the strength and to sustain me to be able to present it, and we just give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. Oh, my other one. So my message is titled, The Three Listen to Me and See. Last Shabbat, Minister Yitzhak started his message with the Shema, which is hear or listen, using the sense of the ear. Today I'm going to take that one step further from our reading in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu in chapter 51 commences with the Hebrew word Shema'i. So we had Shema or Shema'i. Shema'i means listen to me. The E at the end points to me. And he's asking us to both see and look. So we're going to use two senses today, the hearing and the sight. And I'm going to take it, as I said, to verse 8, because that gives us three listens to me, because Yah makes sure we get the message. In Yeshayahu, I'm going to put up the whole passage to start with, and then I'll go break it down and go through it with you. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 51, verses 1 to 8. Listen to me, you pursuers of justice, you who seek Yehovah. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were dug. Consider Abraham your father and Sarah who gave birth to you, and that I called him when he was only one person, then blessed him and made him many. For Yehovah will comfort Zion, will comfort all her ruined places and make her desert like a den, the garden of Eden, her Arava like the garden of Yehovah. Joy and gladness will be there, thanksgiving and the sound of music. When I hear sound of music, I think of praise and worship to Yah. So pay attention to me, my people. My nation, listen to me, for Torah will go out from me. I will calm them with my justice as a light for the peoples. My righteousness is at my hand. My salvation goes out. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands are putting their hope in me, trusting in my arm. Raise your eyes towards the skies. This is the looking part. Look at the earth below. The skies will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like clothing. Those living on it will die like flies, but my salvation will be forever, and my justice will never end. Listen to me, you who know justice, you people who have my Torah in your heart. Don't be afraid of people's taunts. Don't be upset by their insults, for the moth will eat them up like clothing. The worm will eat them like wool. But my justice will be forever and my salvation for all generations. Now you can see why I took that a bit further. This is speaking to you. This is speaking to all of you online, all of you who love Yehovah and who want to follow his mitzvot and obey his Torah. So when we read this scripture in the Hebrew, it commences with, as I said, Shemua Eli, or in English, listen to me and see what I am talking about. Hearing and seeing are the two most acute, essential, and far-reaching senses with which our bodies are endowed. The word Shema expresses the united and concentrated powers of hearing and seeing upon anyone given them, as well as doing what is commanded in that doing and seeing. So when our Yah says to us, listen and hear, he means that all our capacity for looking and listening, all our powers of undistracted attention shall be centered upon the information he is about to share with us. When we center these capacities on his word and follow his instructions, then divinely transpired truth enters into us in proportion to the strength and continuity of our attention to it. So if we're not listening and not paying attention, we're not going to get much from Yah. We are to leave every receptive capacity open to Yah if we are to receive anything from him. And that is the ear for listening, the eye for looking and seeing, and the heart for longing. We need to take hold of him through every step of his feet, through every word of his lips, and every touch of his ruach, or spirit, on our lives. In chapter 51 of Yeshayahu, the words, "listen to me," are used three times to as many different shades of spiritual characters. So in the first verse, the Yehovah says, "listen to me," to those who seek. In the fourth verse, he says, "listen to me," to those who are entering the blessing. And in the seventh verse, the "listen to me" says, to those who are in the knowledge and conscious possession of the blessing. So it's three steps. You can see why I couldn't stop at the first, because we had to go through the three for you to get the full message that Yehovah wants you to have. In Yeshayahu 51, verse 1a, it says, "listen to me, you pursuers of justice, you who seek Yehovah." Well, that's everyone here. That's everyone listening online. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. In 51:4, it says, "pay attention to me, my people." Once again, that's us. "My nation," us, "listen to me. For Torah will go out from me. I will calm them with my justice as a light for the peoples." And in Yeshayahu 51:7, "listen to me, you who know justice," because we've just received it, and the blessings that go with it, "you who know justice, you people who have my Torah in your heart, don't be afraid of people's taunts. Don't be upset by their insults." And once we have the Torah in our heart, that's what we get, especially from old friends and old, and even family and etc. Because we're not the same. We've changed. And we've changed in a way that's different from mainstream. So they don't like it. And it takes strength to do that. I believe everyone listening online, or watching online, everyone within the room here, you have strength just to be here and worship on Shabbat. So each of these listens to me. There is an attached a special instruction and a promise exactly adapted to the moral state of the person addressed. There are also specific keys in each of these verses to receive Yah's blessings. And to me, these words are Torah and justice. If we don't have Torah, then we don't know what justice is, and or how to deliver justice lawfully and fairly. But Torah shows us how to do that. In the first "listen to me," we read in Yeshayahu is speaking to those who seek Yehovah. This "listen to me" person is the seeker, whether that person is seeking forgiveness of sins or the perfect cleansing from all sin. It could even be seeking more of his word or more of his Torah. It could be seeking important to understand that Yah here is addressing his own people. He's not speaking to the sinner. He's not speaking to those who don't know him. He's speaking to those who know him and seeking more of him. So this is for you. He is addressing his own people, and he confirms this in verse 4. And with that in mind, it's important to note that this applies with special emphasis to those people who are seeking true holiness or righteousness. You are striving to live right or live correctly according to the Torah. So you want more of Yah. You want to draw closer to him. There are two items of encouragement given to this seeker of holiness. The first is to look at what Yah has already done for you and then take courage. In Yeshayahu 51b, it says, consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were dug. Every person that has ever experienced salvation can look back to the wonders of mercy that they've already received in their favour because of Yah being in their life and Yeshua being in their life. So Yehovah first takes us up out of the mire and then takes the mire out of us. So remember, you don't get good to get Yah in your life. You get Yah in your life first and then you get good. Okay? Now, I've got a few reversals in here, but then that's just me. This scripture that says he took me out of the mire and set my feet on the rock is the scripture out of Tehillim or Psalm chapter 40. It was this scripture in 1951 that brought me into the kingdom. I didn't need a New Testament scripture. This was the one he gave me. And this is what the verse says. Actually, the whole chapter of verse 40, when only the verses 2 and 3 were applicable in 51. But as I've lived my life, it's spoken of my life in that whole chapter. It's been really amazing to be able to look back on it. In Tehillim Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3, it says, he brought me up from the roaring pit, up from the muzzy ooze. Who's in the pit? Hasatan. It's the pit of hell, isn't it? He brought me up from the pit, out of the pit, up from the muddy ooze. Or as some versions say, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock, making my footing firm. Who's the rock? Yeshua is the rock. He put a new song in my mouth. He gave me a song to praise Yah with it. A song of praise to our Elohim. Many will look on in awe and put their trust in Yehovah. That's just the first three verses. If you want to read the rest of the psalm some other time, it speaks a lot about what Yah has done in my life. So you can read a lot about me in that psalm. The first thing Yah does is draw us out of Hasatan's pit, then destroys the work of Hasatan out of us. Okay, so that's the reversal again. Then he sets our feet on the rock. And as I said, the only rock and to keep my footing firm and keep me safe and from falling is Yeshua. And that is why we can have a song in of praise in our mouths continually. Because we know in the one whom we trust is in everything that we do. And we know where our help comes from. Knowing that Yah has done this for us should encourage us to press on and obtain the prize of the high calling in Yeshua HaMashiach. The second item of encouragement is looking at the example of those who've received the very grace which we seek. In Yeshayahu 51 and verse 2, it says, consider Avraham, your father, and Sarah, who gave birth to you, and that I called him when he was only one person, then blessed him and made him many. Our parents were as sinful by nature and as weak as we are. Avraham was raised by a father who was a maker of idols. They were idol worshippers. And yet he says, look to Avraham. It doesn't matter where we came from. It's what we become. They had as corrupt hearts and as painful difficulties to encounter as what we have. And if Yahweh called them and blessed them with his perfect love and led them through the valley of defeat, he will do the same for us. Doesn't matter what we go through, Yah will bring us through. Yehovah has given you the promise of the abiding comforter, that is the Ruach HaKodesh. So look what it says in verse 3. In Yeshayahu 51:3, for Yehovah will comfort Zion, will comfort all her ruined places, will make her desert like a den, that is the Garden of Eden, her Arava like the Garden of Yehovah, once again, Garden of Eden. Joy and gladness will be there. Well, it was. That's where Adam and Hava met with Yehovah every day. Of course there was joy and gladness there. Thanksgiving and the sound of music, sound of singing, sound of praise, sound of worship. And this is the promise of great wealth and should bring hope to the heart of the weary and the sad. The perfection of the promise is seen in the fact that, excuse me, it is exactly a sevenfold corresponding to the seven lamps of the golden menorah of Revelation. We started with the ruined desert wilderness and the things of the heart. That's where they came from. And they are replaced with seven words. So let's have a look at those seven words. Comfort, Eden or paradise, garden, being in Yehovah's presence, joy, gladness, thanksgiving, and the sound of music or the sound of praise. I love those seven words because that puts us in complete happiness at all times. That's how we should be walking, regardless of what we go through. The promise begins on the minor strain of consolation and rises through the graduation of blessing until every fibre of the soul sings at concert pitch of Yah's full salvation. And this is the promise that Yah gives to the seeker who will listen and hear. You know that we can listen but still not hear, don't you? And most of you all know that I was a school teacher for 38 years. And I used to tell my class or my students on the first day I took a new class every single year, from grade 1 to grade 7, I think it was, or grade 8, can't remember now. The first thing that they were taught on the first day of that year that they had me as their teacher was they had to learn, listen. I'll say it again. They had to learn to listen before they could listen to learn. Okay? And then I would give them exercises every single week, training them in that. It didn't matter whether the children were mainstream classroom, whether they were speakers of other languages, whether they were children with learning difficulties, they were all taught the same thing. They all had to learn to listen before they could listen to learn. The second listen to me in this chapter is found in verse 4, and it's particularly applicable to those who are at the very edge of the blessings that they are seeking. As the first listen to me was accompanied with the promises specifically adapted to the seeker, so the second listen to me is accompanied with promises that point directly to the act of trusting and receiving salvation. Yehovah says, "My righteousness is at hand, my salvation goes out." In Yeshayahu chapter 51, verses 4 to 6, it says, "Pay attention to me, my people, my nation, listen to me. For Torah will go out from me. I will calm them with my justice as a light for the peoples. My righteousness is at my hand. My salvation goes out. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands are putting their hope in me, trusting in my arm. Raise your eyes towards the sky. Look at the earth below. The skies will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like clothing. Those living on it will die like flies. But my salvation will be forever, and my justice will never end." If the seeker has followed the first listen to me, his heart and mind are prepared in such a way that Yah can say to him, "My righteousness is at your very door. I have given you the commandments to save you. In other words, Yah's salvation has already gone forth and is already speeding its lightning flight to your waiting heart. When you are saved, you receive the words that proceed out of Yehovah's mouth as the authoritative laws of life, which frees you from the law of sin. And this is the beauty of being Torah observant. We are given instructions to follow the things that are applicable to the individual and their situation, which can be interpreted and is interpreted by most Christian denominations as the law, but we see them as the laws of life on how to live. Purely because we have these instructions, the Torah reveals to us what is sin, and therefore we have the knowledge in how to live purely and to not sin. As we enter the realm of entire purity and tread the boundary of it, we come to a place where faith is no stepping stones other than the simple words from Yehovah's mouth. When we completely place our trust in the promises that come from Yehovah's mouth, those written in the Torah, which is his word, we will discover that we are actually trusting on Yehovah's arm of infinite love, mercy and grace. His outstretched arm is ready there to catch us before we fall at any time. It's his outstretched arm that we are ready to fall onto. If we will rest on the promises of Yehovah's mouth from verse 4, we will find that we are in fact riding, as I said, on the outstretched arm of his power found in verse 5. We will always find the promiser is concealed in his promise. The written promise is the sleeve in which the real arm of the infinite Ruach abides. If you fall on the sleeve, you will touch the arm. What I'm saying is that if you will trust in Yah's word and trust in the promises of his word, then you will find his provision is already there for you. Then in verse 6, we are told to look and see. In 51:6 it says, raise your eyes towards the skies. Look at the earth below. The skies will vanish like the smoke. The earth will wear out like clothing. Those living in it will die like flies. But my salvation will be forever, and my justice will never end. We find here that these three verses, 4, 5, and 6, are three great truths arranged in order that self-evidence confirms when the soul, that is the mind, the will, and the emotions, enter fully into purity and power. First, the bold, steady step upon the proceedings which come from the mouth. Then the conscious touch of the Ruach, or the power, trusting on his arm. And finally, the purified vision. The vision can see past the mundane, the worldly, the physical, and into the spiritual realm. The stillness of Yehovah's word, the touch of an almighty arm, the anointed eye that can pierce through the space and time. So how can this be obtained by the average person? Simply by listening to the sweet, omnipotent voice of Yah, who says, give ear unto me, listen to what I tell you. But if we could but listen, if we could but hear, we have to get quiet and listen. Listen to Yeshua, listen to the Ruach HaKodesh, listen to the words that are coming off the page as we read the word of Yah. Let his word float into your ears, down into your heart, and it will heal you. It will heal your wounded spirit. It will heal your broken heart. It will heal your scrambled emotions. It will heal your sick body. It will heal your marriage. It will heal your family. I'm telling you, if we would but listen to Yehovah, his word will heal our sores and his voice will pacify our spirits. And this is such an important key in our walk and with Yah, to be still and just listen to him. Wait and give him time to respond. No point just asking for something and expecting it to arrive. We have to wait on him. Give him time to work it through. Give him time to find that right, correct husband for you. Give him time to fix that thing in your life that is not working as you want it to work. Because sometimes he has to work on other people for that to happen, not just you. You're ready, but that other person may not be, or the other situation may not be. And it's the waiting that is the hardest part. But know that Yah's timing is perfect. The best way to wait is to let go of your own thoughts and to let Yah take control. We cannot steer him to where we want to go. We have to let him steer us to where he wants us to be. I'm going to repeat that. We cannot steer him where we want to go. We have to let him steer us where he wants us to be. And this is really important, and it can only be done when we wait on him. The third "listen to me" is in verse 7. Is addressed to those who receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, those who have entered into the realm of full assurance. In Yeshayahu 51 and verse 7, it says, "Listen to me, you who know justice, you people who have my Torah in your heart. Don't be afraid of people's taunts. Don't be upset by their insults." Sean spoke of this last week, how he gets taunted and insulted at work all the time. And it happens. I mean, I've had people walk into a staff room with a sole of a shoe and said, here's one of your lost soles, and they'd give it to me. You know, this is taunting, but they do it. You know, it's not uncommon to be taunted because of your faith. The key to this, listen to me, is the Torah in your heart. Having the instructions of the first five books in Scripture given to Moshe, which he led Yah's people out of Egypt. This key is not taught in the mainstream churches. This is a bugle call for patient, loving heroism on the part of those who have received the blessings they seek. They must be brave, they must be loving, long-suffering witnesses to the salvation that they have received. They have to stand firm in their faith. Being a Torah observant believer takes a lot more courage and tenacity than most people realize. Once a person leaves Christendom or Judaism to live according to Yehovah's word and his Torah, brings persecution from family, friends, and non-Torah observant believers, and even so-called Bible-believing pastors and leaders. The Christian thinks they've reached the full assurance that the Ruach HaKodesh must tell it right. We, according to them, are taking a retrograde step back towards being under the law. They do not realize how wrong they are, and no amount of scripture will lead them to the truth. But we just need to keep loving on them. We must testify the sevenfold promises we've received through the seven words. Comfort, Eden or paradise, garden being in Yehovah's presence, joy, gladness, thanksgiving, and the sound of music. We have to live on those and share those. We must tell everyone we know that Yah offers this to anyone who will seek his face and observe his instructions. To tell of the goodness of Yeshua, who is the Word, and I believe that everyone who experiences the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh will soon receive a tap on the shoulder, a gentle nudge or push, to push us forward with a whisper telling us to go and tell what Yehovah through Yeshua has done for us. Share our own testimony. Be prepared to share what you've gone through with others. It could be good, it could be bad, but you've come out the other side victorious, regardless of what you've been through in life. And it could be that just one thing that someone wanted to hear that you had no idea they needed to hear it. Yah is telling us to report the sweet miracle that he has performed in us. Remember the demonic of the Gerasene when Yeshua set him free from the legion of demons that had possessed him? He wanted to leave with Yeshua and the 12 Talmidim. But in Mark 5:19, Yeshua said to him, but Yeshua would not permit it. Instead, he said, go home and tell your people and tell them how much Yehovah in his mercy has done for you. He wanted to be a follower of Yeshua. Yeshua wanted him to be a Talmidim and tell the rest of the people what Yehovah had done. Not what Yeshua had done, what Yehovah had done. Because Yeshua never took glory for himself. He gave all the glory to his Father. We are told in verse 7 not to be afraid what men might do or say to us concerning our testimony. In Yeshayahu 51 verses 7 and 8, it says, don't be afraid of people's taunts. Don't be upset by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like clothing. The worm will eat them like wool. But my justice will be forever and my salvation for all generations. We can be assured that our salvation will be for all generations. That our salvation will be forever. Yah reassures us that no matter what they may think of us or say to us, in a few years hence, they will soon be seen melting away like old moth-eaten garments. While on the other hand, the tried and true blood-bought and blood-washed witnesses of Yeshua are seen passing for all generations into glory for eternity. We have in these three listens to me's the beginning, the progress, and the triumph of the soul in history of full salvation. This great salvation depends upon the degree of intensity in which we hear, listen, and see, as well as obeying the truth of Yehovah through his word. Yeshua says six times throughout his ministry from Matthew to Revelation, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. True salvation does not come just from reading the Ketuvah HaShalachim. True salvation, true assurance, and true peace only comes through the Torah and Yeshua combined. As I said, my salvation came through what Yah revealed to me in Psalm 40. Others have come to salvation through Yeshayahu, and it does come through other areas of the Tanakh. Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh are also revealed. Mind you, I believe that we are doubly blessed when we come to Yeshua through the Tanakh, as the Torah is also important in our lives. It is easier to yearn for complete obedience because we know the truth. We know his word and we can follow his Torah, while Yeshua sets us free from religiosity and tradition. But can we all say hallelujah to that? Yeah. Are there any questions? Yah was immensely good to me. That is the longest I've spoken for a week. We'll now go to the remembrance service.